I've got Wednesday in the Word, a slash through it, temporary. I'm coming on tonight because I'm going to be over at our church with Deacon Bob Carroll tomorrow night, and it'd be good to be with them. And so we're coming on a little bit early. Next Wednesday night, we'll be back on our regular schedule, 7 o'clock. Hopefully, we've got some things fixed where you can stay with us with switching out our computer and a couple other things that were giving us a problem knocking us off of the air. And so hopefully you'll be able to stay with us and follow us all the way as well. And so it's good to be with you tonight. We've got some much-needed prayer requests tonight before we get into our series tonight. And I thank God as we look at our series that we've been talking about, the testing of our assurance. The testing of our assurance, amen. And First Peter. And so tonight we're going to be in some verses tonight and pick back up in our study. But before I talk any more about that, I want you to, I'm just so thankful to hear Sister Carolyn Bentley's back home, Tommy, with her, as she had some close calls this past week. I thank God for all the doctors, Dr. Perry, everybody that plays a big part in taking care of all of our folks here in Cartersville. I just want to say thank you, Dr. Perry. Thank you for being a Christian doctor as well, and a doctor of mine in the past as well. All of our doctors, our first line defense, they're on the front lines. All of our nurses, everyone, we commend you as all the work you've been doing. We're fixing to get around here to almost a year that my first alert went off on my phone that told me I would not be going into the campus at Georgia Northwestern Technical College. And man, it's coming around here soon. And so can you imagine tonight as we look, plus all of the scare about this new world order, I don't know what, how much powerful truth it is of the things that you heard about that over in the embassy in Rome. All of that talk, we pray about it as well. We don't know. We're just like you. We heard it as well. What all the things have? Were they taking votes from President Trump to Joe Biden in the states that he was losing because President Trump didn't go along with the new world order? I don't know. That's something that. Once somebody got that to me and they say that, you know what, they want to mention it because of all leaders and everybody, and I'm going to mention it, amen, because if it's wrong, then it's wrong. If it's something that's happened, it needs to be brought out, amen. If it's a lie, then it'll come out. But I thank God tonight, as some of you, I had a chance to share with you about that earlier. And so you'll be able to see that. I'm not saying any names tonight about anyone or anything, even the one that sent it to me. But the one that sent it to me, thank you, brother. Thank you for sending that to me. And so tonight, Tuesdays, as we call it in the Word tonight, Sister Carolyn, Brother Tommy, it's good to have you back home from the hospital, and you're doing better. Amen. Thank God the scare about that. And we're just thanking all of our prayer warriors for that as well. A much needed prayer. From yesterday when I prayed for one that's very dear to my heart, one of the oldest friends of my mother and our oldest friend, Joanne Cave. Today started out this morning with exploratory surgery with a leaking valve on her heart. That's Chris and Stephanie's mom. And so please, you keep her lifted up as they're doing that exploratory surgery at open heart. And I know that's like anywhere from 12 to 14 hour surgery. Man, what a beautiful Christian woman and mother that she has always been, and a good friend. It was good praying with her last night. And I want to encourage every one of you that believe in the power of prayer to put her on your prayer list. And those that I contacted today to pray, and the many, as I'm saying tonight, please, you pray for Joanne Cave, that we are here, good results. I'm hoping that I'll get a text from Chris soon or a phone call that says everything is going good. We believe in our heart that that the Lord is working on her behalf, and he's the greatest physician of all. So please remember Joanne Cave tonight. Also, Sydney Wages, which is a young girl that is a twin girl that she's actually, I guess, she's 18, but she still wears a diaper. And for the Wages family, for all of you, we lift you up in our prayers, and we will continuously to be praying for you and for your family, especially Sydney as well. And so, Doc, brother, we'll be praying for that cataract surgery on your eye in the morning as well. A master electrician from Georgia Power Southern Company, we'll be lifting you up. him and Brother Dale. They're way back friends from Hal Senior, from when our head deacon at our church that passed away a while back. They're good friends of him as well that they know from George Powell. And so all of these, Denise Davison, lift her up with the passing of her mother. And continue remembering all of our neighbors around us, your neighbors, as we do something to try to make them comfortable, to help them in any way, amen. Reach out to them in a way. I thank God, Brother Rodney and Judy, and I thank God with Chris and Danielle and all my neighbors around me. That we've got wonderful neighbors, and they're on our prayers as well tonight. And so tonight, as we get in reverence and hope of a believer, as we pick back up in our series tonight, let's have a time of prayer. I want to mention all of our lost of Rachel Zumont, Mark Pratt, Carrie King, Heather Bentley, Melissa Ruppel, Becky Benefield, Laura Skates, Renee Mann, Kobe Boyd, Gracie Bennett, Christy Campbell, Don Massey Jr., Michael Morgenstein, Mary Pruitt's Uncle Larry, Mary Pruitt's cousins Michael and Danny. Also, Mary Pruitt's nail guy. I think I left that off last time. Forgive me. That's Daniel. Derek Pruitt's friend in Tampa, Florida, George Gordon as well, Jake and Joyce Sr., Dr. Pete Limpnack. Remember all of these in your prayers, and remember those for salvation, and especially remember our widows and widowers, amen. I thank God, all of our widows, Betty Eaton, Gail George, Mary Sr., Sheila Sr., Sarah Turner, Brenda Weaver, Deborah Ruppel, Elizabeth Boucher, Linda Adams, and also for our men, Jim Leahy, Sam Lewis, Earl Matheson, Todd Barnes, and Bradford Thomas. Remember all of these. I want you to continue remembering those that were praying for cancer as well. Also, John Osher and Todd Barnes. And I thank God. And then those for cancer, Gail George, Carolyn Bentley, Eugene Jenkins, Stevie New, Daryl Pruitt, Carrie Jo Payne. Remember all of these in your prayers as well when you lift up prayer warriors. Father, tonight we lift up the many, many needs of those names that have been mentioned tonight. I pray, Lord, that you will touch the hand of the heart, and Lord, whatever exploratory surgery it is, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I could pray for 15. I could pray for this whole segment and it'd be gone. But Lord, I tell you tonight, I believe in the power of prayer. And I pray for my brothers and sisters and the names that have been lifted up tonight, that Lord, that you'll be right there with their families in the waiting room as they're waiting to hear the news of which way things are going to go as the doctor comes out and begins to tell them the news. I pray, God, for victorious news, Lord, that Lord, those doctors have been given the very best abilities as their hands are steady. Lord, as the man that's doing everything in the background, Father, Lord, the anesthesiologist, the nurse, every prepping that's going on, everyone that has a part in that surgery, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus to give them the very best of their abilities, Father. If it's a machine they're using, let that machine do its best, Father. Lord, everything we pray for, Father. Lord, I pray, God, for these that are lost, that need salvation. And God, it's messages, Lord, today that we're able to reach people that we've never reached before. And so, Father, I thank you for this great opportunity to be on Facebook and Sermon Audio. And Lord, to be able to reach out to these many. Lord, we know so many people from working so many different places over years. And Lord, I thank God for them. They may not think that I read some of them. Thank you for, Lord, thank you for these good friends, Lord. And I praise you for them, Lord, bringing them and having them in my life. And so, Father, tonight, I pray that you'll reach out and, Lord, do a miracle in the making for all of these that we've asked over. These that have cancer, Father. These ones, God, that are going through difficulties in their marriage. They have financial difficulties, Father. They've got choices and decisions to make. These where the death angels come into their homes. I lift them all up in the name of Jesus. These ones that have recently come home from the hospital, let them continue to grow strong and get their strength back and recover, Father. And Lord, I pray for all those that have COVID and the many that have experienced death because of it, that you'll hold that family up and bring them together. And Lord, I pray that as you bring America through all of this, whatever the truth is about this with the Rome embassy and all of the deceit with politics because of the world order. Lord, I thank God. Lord, we're waiting for you to come back for us, Lord. And Lord, I pray, God, that, Lord, we're not for no new world order. We're for you, Father. And we're for the church. And Lord, I pray, God, that whatever tries to work against the church and against you, I pray that an opposition will rise up, that the angels of heaven will drop down and knock them out. Lord, I know that's a kind of a bad thing to say, but Lord, I pray in the power of Jesus that your will and word will be magnified and go forth, and it will be able to reach as many as it can, Father, before it's too late, before you come for the church and before the great tribulation, where those Jews that are left behind, Lord, will be scared to their wits, and some of them will still die because they waited too late to come into the family of God. They never recognized the Messiah, and they had an opportunity. And I pray for their salvation of Jerusalem and for those. Thank you for the Messianic Jews that know Jesus. And Lord, I pray, God, that you'll bring convicting power, Lord, upon these many today that need salvation. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. Amen. Boy, I thank God. Let's do a little bit of worship. Amen. Boy, I thank God here very quickly. And I thank God as we get into our worship time. Amen. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see his loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that he is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of his appearing will come at last. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King. The hope of all who seek him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's grab one more. Amen. Boy, ain't it good to praise the Lord? Amen. Boy, this is an old one. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Boy, thank God. Hey, brother and sister. Hey, if you're tuning us in, my brother and sister, we love you. Amen. Praise God. You just keep on going forward. Sister Sue, brother David, amen. We love y'all, and we send flowers out to y'all tonight as well. Amen. All right, let's see if we can get this right. Amen. As the world looks upon me,
as I struggle alone. And they say I have nothing, but they are so wrong. In my heart I'm rejoicing, and how I wish they could see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me, I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family.
See if I can keep it together.
Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me.
Woo! Let me see if I can get this next verse out. Man, I get to thinking about my family. Woo! I get to praising the Lord because I know where mom's at. You pray.
I know I'm not wealthy, and these clothes are not new, and I don't have much money, but Lord, I have you. And to me, that's all that matters, though the world may not see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me, I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me.
Thank you, People's Valley. Hallelujah. What a fine family you are out there. Amen. People's Valley Baptist Church, we love you. Praise God, man. Thank you for putting up with me. Amen. We'll soon, it won't be long as we're getting ready for that old ship of Zion. Amen. Woo! Brother, he's getting ready to get up and load up the ship, and we fixing to take off out of here. Praise God. Man, I tell you, I might get preaching before I even get to teaching. Amen. Boy, I thank God here tonight as we look and realize tonight what a blessing it is. Come and be with us at People's Valley Baptist Church. Hey, we're located at 68 Lefford Lane. Amen. I thank God we've got Sunday school at 10 o'clock and morning worship at 11. This coming Sunday, Brother Davey Kahn, he is our only preacher that we've got at the church. Amen. The only one. And he's our songster as well. Amen. And so he's going to be preaching this every fourth Sunday. He preaches. David comes, praise God, and he teaches our young kids and Richie. I thank God we're blessed, amen, with Richie Foley. Hallelujah. And by the way, Richie, and I'll tell you, Polly, man, y'all were young in that picture, brother. Man, that'll take you back right there. Amen. Praise God. Hey, listen, come on and be with us. Brother Bob will be there at 7 o'clock on Wednesday nights. I'll be with him this coming Wednesday night, amen. And so every Monday night at 7 o'clock, praise God, we're praying a corporate prayer wherever we're at. And so join us and be with us at People's Valley tonight. The testing of your assurance in 1 Peter. And I thank God tonight as we look, we're talking about reverence and hope of a believer. Reverence and hope of a believer. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 17 through 21, tonight, this is the seventh in this series, amen. This series is going to take us all the way up into May. Amen. Maybe a little on into further, but I believe, you know what? It's just like when we ran in the military. Amen. Let's get an airborne shuffle going. Amen. Listen, you might sprint and wear yourself out, and you might get a lot of scriptures read, but what did you really take in? Amen. What did you really take in? Take it slow, praise God. Take a few scriptures, and let's take it in, praise God. Let's do the airborne shuffle, hallelujah. Man, I'm going to tell you, I've run a many a miles in some black Cadillacs, amen. I know, praise God, what I've done, amen. Boy, that's why these feet are like they are today. They barking, praise God. Amen, let's get off of that. I chase a rabbit in a heartbeat, amen. Boy, I thank God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 17 through 21. This is the seventh in the series. This is February Tuesday, not Wednesday, the 23rd, 2021. the 11th of Adar, 5781. If you get a chance, you know, a lot of movies are not good, but if you get a chance to watch that Greenland with Gerald Butler, it'll make you think if there's a catastrophe, especially if something happens in the solar system or whatever, what the government's going to do, Homeland Security's policy of who they're going to put on a plane and try to protect, it'll be according to your job description. Not everybody will be able to get on a plane in an emergency situation where they can put them and evacuate them to a secure location. But those that have the job skills, they will put your name on there. Watch that movie Greenland. Not I'm trying to promote anything like that, but it'll give you an idea, especially when people are trying to protect their families, what it's going to be like when it hits the fan. I'm glad the church is going to be up, up, and away out of here. Beam me up, Scotty, as they say. We're out of here, praise God, when the time comes for that, amen. But I thank God right now, every one of us are going through some tough times. And I thank God. One of the things that, over in Israel that is one of the most Polish-born American rabbi, Abraham Joshua Heschel. And he is one of the known Jewish theologians and Jewish philosophers over there of the 20th century. And I want to give a quote of what he says tonight as we start out tonight. He says, "When I was young, I admired clever people. Now that I'm old, I admire kind people," unquote. You know, it almost makes you think what some of the scripture talks about that. Because, you know, here, each and every one of us, I remember when I used to drive to Atlantic Steel on a motorcycle, amen, every day. And my wife would be worried to death. And I said, "Listen, when God's ready to take me out of this world, he'll take me out of this world, amen. When my time's up, but until then, God's got a purpose at a place for every one of us, amen." I put my leather on and my gloves and take off, praise God, up all the way to 14th Street, Muscasalan, Atlantic Steel, after I got out of the military and went back and forth about. I love riding a motorcycle, hallelujah, amen. I don't have it still today, but boy, I sure miss it. But I thank God those days, you know what, that was when I was younger, amen. I could still ride one, oh yeah. But boy, I'm going to tell you right now, each and every one of us, we realize there's some things that we still can't do. And as we get older, we need to use that wisdom wisely. And he says, I thank God, he said, "I admire kind people." I thank God as we start out 1 Peter is sending out this letter to five places in the Roman province. He sent it out to Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. I do that because all through this, I want to continue to remind you where it started and where it's going, praise God. Here in this circle, where today, as we see these five locations, that is today in modern day Turkey, amen, that the word of God was going out, praise God, to all of the new churches of that time, praise God. And so here we begin to realize that as we look at this and begin to see that what we've talked about already in our first segment, in verses 1 through 12, that we talked about how to be secure through suffering and to know that you're saved, amen. I thank God as we talked about that. One of the things that we mentioned was you need to know that you're chosen of God. Know the believer's living hope and know the truth about trials and temptations, and then know the wonder and the greatness of that salvation. That brought us to our second segment, how to live through suffering. Now, I'm going to tell you, no matter what, even if the end of the world doesn't come, we got the rapture, listen, there's still going to be suffering that everyone is going to face. But you got to give your life to God. Now, tonight, this talks about this. These next segments that go all the way over into chapter 3 deal with this subtopic of how to live through suffering and to give your life to God. Amen? Now, I thank God as we look and realize tonight, we're talking about the subject of the heading is how to reverence and hope, the reverence and hope of a believer. Now, I thank God every one of us as we look at this tonight, the last thing that I talked about was you need to get your mind ready. Amen. I thank God each and every one of us is how that you start out when it comes to this, because God is the one that we prepare for the battle. It is all won because it is there that it begins, that the enemy will approach you and target your mind right off. You need to take that helmet of salvation, hallelujah, and put that thing on. every morning when you get your shoes on and get and roll out of that bed. You need to put on the armor of God, amen. You need to put the shield of faith on and the shoes of peace. You need to put that girdle around you, hallelujah, and that will give you every bit of the protection that you need against the fiery darts of the enemy every day when you get up. Now, I tell you, let me move on, because here today, as we look, as we asked ourselves a question, how can we stand against the trials and the temptations of life, amen? I thank God each and every one of us is, how can we do that? I thank God, you know, how can we stand against the trials and the temptations of life? Now, I thank God, especially when we're severely attacked to such a point that we cannot understand how we can bear it. Now, I thank God, is there anything, any place that can help us to bear it? Keep in mind, we're still asking the question now. Yes, there is. I thank God. You say, what is it? Go ahead and get it out, amen. Hey, I thank God it is, as we look at it, it is the fear of God. Now, thank God, because when we're severely attacked to such a point that we cannot understand how can we bear it, basically, it is. It's the fear of God. It's the reverence of God. Now, I tell you, I remember when I went with the hands and feet ministry a while back. We went over into Mexico. There's a story, a long one in that. I don't have time to get into all that, but let me get straight to my point. We was over there, man. I tell you, the boldest thing I ever done was take a bunch of teenagers over there with them, and I was the spiritual leader. We had three times a day that we went into the Word of God and gave them the spiritual word. Amen. And then during the day, we built church. We laid a foundation. We put the rebar down and we poured the concrete. Amen. I did that when I was a teenager growing up. I know concrete and rebar like the back of my head. Amen. I thank God. Amen. Over Johnson's Paving Company back in the day. Praise God. That's another run the rabbit trail. Praise God. But I thank God. The fear of God. Listen, you know what? Then they got rowdy. And I said, reverence, reverence. Man, I kept telling them, you need to reverence the Lord. You need to respect the Lord. You need to fear the Lord, amen. Boy, it wasn't long before the man of God that was over our mission trip, man, he set them down in there, buddy. Whew! He blared the word of God out with a power and might, amen, and began to straighten them out from one way to the other. Praise God. Listen, he didn't, but the Holy Spirit did. And brother, the power of God fell and worked through them. And man, we did some mighty things, amen. I mean, we did miracles over there. And so I thank God, the fear of God, there is the fear of God. If a person fears God, listen to what I'm teaching tonight. If a person fears God and he fears him enough, he will stand against temptation and he will endure the trials of life. Woo, thank God, hallelujah. You say, man, how in the world is the fear of God going to help me with temptations and enduring the trials of life? Listen to my teaching tonight. Because most people do not like to talk about fearing God. But to fear God is though to be psychologically unsound and emotionally disturbing to somebody. It is said to drive people to all kinds of emotional problems. Because of all of these things, is it true that preaching and teaching and the fear of God causes problems for people? I'm going to tell you one thing is for sure. It's not what Scripture proclaims. Scripture proclaims that man must fear God. I'm sharing the word of Scripture with you tonight. Or else he will be doomed forever. Amen. Now I'm going to tell you, reverence comes when you get saved. Because as a child of God, you have a fear, but I call it a reverence because you respect the holiness of God. And when temptations come, praise God, and when all of the trials of life come, you will be able to withstand them, praise God. Because Scripture proclaims that man must fear God or else he'll be doomed forever. Because whatever is causing man's psychological or emotional problems, it's not the fear of God, and it's not the true fear of God. You know, I thank God as we look. What does Scripture mean by the fear of God? What does it mean? I thank God. It means two things. Listen with me. Follow me now. I thank God. To fear God means to hold him in fear, dread, and terror. The second one, to fear God means to hold him in awe, to reverence the holiness, the power, the knowledge, amen, the wisdom, the judgment, and the wrath of God, amen. I thank God. That's what Scripture teaches. And I thank God, man must reverence God and hold God in the highest esteem and honor. Because only if man reverences God will he worship and will he serve God. I'm teaching the Bible tonight. Listen to it. Amen. I thank God. Therefore, the fear that God wants man to have is a fear of reverence and awe. A fear that will stir man to love God with the deepest of emotions, with a true honor and esteem. Amen. But if man fails to reverence and love God, then he must fear the judgment and the wrath of God. Why? Listen, why? Because man will have to bear the judgment of God. And therefore, fear is man's only hope. That's right. It is one of the forces that can drive him to cry out for the mercy of God. Boy, I thank God. You know what? If you didn't have any fear, you would never go to the doctor. Some of you wait so long that the fear is what wakes you up in the morning and says, man, there's something not right with my health. I need to get down to the doctor's office. I'm going to tell you, it works with the power of God, amen. And so this subject of this passage, as we live on earth in the fear of God, amen. As we look tonight, we begin to look at some of the things. The only hope for mankind is to live on earth in reverence of God. I'm going to talk about this tonight. And I gave you an outline on Facebook that goes with this tonight. Very quickly, let me run through it. Amen. First of all, the only hope for mankind as we look at this is because you call God Father in verse 17. Because God shall judge the world in verse 17. And because you're a stranger and a pilgrim on earth. I'm just a passing through. Amen. This ain't my permanent place. No, I'm just passing through. Amen. This is just a temporary thing right here. Amen. This body, this ain't where it's going to be all about, amen. It's getting old and decrepit every day, amen. So you, because you're a stranger and a pilgrim on earth, because you've been redeemed, amen, in verses 18, 19, 20. I'm redeemed by love divine, holy. Boy, that's a good one, amen. Hey, listen, and then fifthly, because you believe in the God who raised up and glorified Christ. We're going to talk about this tonight, amen. I thank God because here, believers are to reverence God. Believers are to reverence God. Listen, because you call God Father. Amen? Because you call God Father. Now, let's get into the scripture tonight. He says, and if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, past the time of your sojourning here, in fear. Now, I thank God, if you're looking at the NIV, that's the King James. He says in the NIV, since you call on the Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. If you're looking at the English version, you call him Father when you pray to God who judges all people by the same standard according to what each has done, so that spend the rest of your lives here on earth in reverence in him. Because you call God Father, amen. Boy, I thank God. A father is to be reverenced. Every child is to reverence his father. He's to reverence his mother. But the word reverence, it means, amen, to be able, as we look at, well, let me get back to that in a minute. Hang on, let me hold off on that one just for a minute. But I thank God, it means to hold one's father in high esteem and to honor and to respect him. We're talking about our Heavenly Father. I thank God, especially true of God. God is our Father. He's adopted us as His children through the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, we're to reverence Him, amen. We are to honor and respect Him, hold Him in the highest esteem, and to fear lest we displease and dishonor Him and bring pain to His heart. I wonder how many of us grieved the Holy Spirit today. We were somewheres, we saw something, we were involved in something we should have been involved in, amen. Oh, I tell you, that Holy Spirit, you can grieve Him. And I thank God, you need to stay true to Him. Stand against all the trials and the persecution, temptations and evils of this life. Call upon your Father. Ask for His help and strength, amen. But reverence Him and show honor and respect by living for Him as a born-again Christian. I tell you, if you've fallen by the wayside, you ain't lost your salvation. But listen. You're going to be miserable until you get back in fellowship with your Heavenly Father. Until you get back right with Jesus, amen. And so I thank God, every one of us, listen to the references of Scripture in Matthew 6, 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Listen to the reference. I'm running reference out of the Thompson chain, amen. Matthew 7, 11. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? And so I thank God. Remember, it's about the Father. It's about receiving. Listen to the scripture of John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So we recognize him. He's our Father. He's the one that we receive. We receive the spirit of adoption. Amen. And so I thank God. Abba, Father, as Galatians tells us. Amen. Peter says, call on the Father, amen, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, amen. And so I thank God. He says, he tells us this as well. And so I thank God as we look and we begin to realize that he also tells us about, he says, about the fear. He says, note that the word fear, of phobo, to hold God in reverence and awe, amen, as he's talking as well. As we continue on, believers are to reverence God because God shall judge the world as well. Amen. Well, I thank God, each and every one of us, as we look and realize of the scripture that we just saw. Let's bring it back up again. Amen. That he tells us. He says, and if you call on the Father who without respect of persons judge according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. And so, because God shall judge the world is what he says. Who with out respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work is what he's saying. And so I thank God, as we said about the word fear earlier, amen, it means to hold him in a reverence, amen. There are three things that we have about the judgment of God, amen. But I thank God first, let's bring this up about this sojourning. It's on down a little bit further, amen, as well. And it means to dwell alongside and to be passing by. I thank God we're going to get that in just a minute. But I thank God as we look and realize that here in this scripture that there are three things that are said about the judgment of God. Amen. No one shall escape. Amen. Hey, there ain't nobody out there that's got anything more than anybody else has got. I don't care if you're on the poor sides of the track or the rich sides of the track. I don't care who you are. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what your nationality are. The Lord judges all the same. Amen. Hey, just because you got more money, because you got a better education, you got a good pedigree, it doesn't matter with God. Hey, Jewish folks, I'm a Jew. So what? You better come by the way of the cross and by the blood of Jesus Christ. Yes, God chose you, but you by salvation better come by the Messiah, and that is through the way of the cross, and he shed his blood for you as well. But because you missed the mark, man, we got grafted in, the Gentiles. Now listen, I'm not trying to preach above that, but I'm trying to tell you the message is still going out to everyone today and the same alike. And in that moment, you're going to stand face to face with God for one purpose and one purpose alone, to be judged. And so I thank God. There are three things, amen, that he said about the judgment of God. Number one, every person's going to be judged, amen. Number two, it is the works of a person that are to be judged. Now, you didn't get your salvation by works. It was a free gift. You didn't have to do anything to earn salvation. No, it was a free gift. All you had to do is accept it. But listen, no false profession will stand in that day. And when God reveals the person's works, his works will show that he never really trusted in Christ. Ain't it a shame? You might be fooling some folks down around here today, but you sure ain't going to fool the Heavenly Father. And you know what? When you done waited that long, you way too late. Right now, you still got a chance to make things right. I think he only said that he believed Christ, but his life and his works will prove differently. You see, if there ain't no fruit with a root, you ain't got it. And I'm not being judgmental. I'm a fruit inspector just like all the other Christians are. Amen. And if it's not evident, hey, listen, then you never had it to begin with. Amen. Now, are you going to get out and are you going to fall? You're going to get into no man's land sometimes. And you go, boy, the Lord's going to whoop you. The Holy Spirit will tear you up. Amen. And so I thank God. He only said that he believed Christ, but his life and works will prove differently. It will be seen that he lived a lie, whoever that is. His life and his works will show that he lived for the world and its possessions and its pleasures. And so we must never forget that a person is saved by faith in Christ. And by a faith that lives for Christ, listen, here's the most important, and continues to live for Christ. And continues to live for Christ. Hey, you might think, you know what, you got in there one day, you said, you know what, I'm going to make a profession, I'm going to hit out of here. Hey, you know, I've had some people join the church, and I ain't never saw them since. I tell you, out of all the years, I tell you, I've had people come in and join, and I never saw them again. I saw some people get saved, I ain't never saw them again back in the church. You know? Maybe they thought, well, hey, that's all it takes. Maybe they thought they went in there and made some kind of profession. And listen, if you got a profession of faith, there'll be fruit. A person who believes in Christ lives for Him. And a person that believes, therefore, he lives day by day doing exactly what he believes. And he should believe, hey man, there's just no such thing as faith without works to back up the faith. If a person truly believes, then he does what he believes and his works follow his belief. Now, if we ain't saw you in church, now listen, I'm talking about you during this COVID, but if we didn't see you in church before this COVID started, you got a problem. There's something wrong. I ain't judging you, but God said he'll judge you and he'll take you down to the depths of hell because that is exactly what Scripture talks about. And so I'm going to tell you, each and every one of us, as we go through life, we've got to be able to get ready for those things. We're talking about reverence and hope of a believer. And I thank God, when you've got that reverence and hope of a believer, you'll be able to withstand the temptations. You'll overcome the trials and suffering of life because you love the Father and He loves you, praise God. And because you, listen, you call God Father, as we said, but because God shall judge the world is what we're talking about. And we're talking about three things that are said about the judgment of God. Every person is going to be judged. But secondly, it is the works of a person that are to be judged, amen, that we're talking about, praise God. And so I thank God, each and every one of us, we've got an opportunity. But let's get to that third point. God will judge without partiality. God don't have any favorites. It does not matter who the person is. Listen, Pastor, I don't care how many souls that the Lord worked through you. Of course, you know this. I'm laughing. I'm just making it. Hey, listen, God does all the saving. He just uses the pastors and the deacons and all the body of Christ and co-workers. We don't do the saving. We're the servants of the Lord, and He works through us. And I thank God. God will work through music. God can convict you, praise God. Why, man, all shall be judged and favoritism will be shown to no one. Listen, you know what? I'm going to tell you something right now when we look at all of the ones back in the day and think about them right now, what took place, amen. Everybody's going to be judged with no partiality, no favoritism, amen. But I thank God as we look and realize the tremendous blessing of what God is going to do. That's Peter, Paul, he's Martin Luther that nailed up the 95 Theses and started everything off from the Catholic Church, broke away from them, went to the Protestants, started all the yeah with the Calvinism and the problems that reached out from John Calvin to Jacob, the other gentleman. I had a senior moment, amen. And so Marinam, and it started all of that problem. You believe this, you believe that. Praise God. And then comes through to us to this day, praise God. Pope Paul, Billy Graham, Caesar, George Washington, John Kennedy, Winston Churchill, Martin Luther King, Einstein, Hitler, Stalin, Genghis Khan. Hey, everybody, amen. All through the world, every human being who has ever lived, both high and low, will be judged, and they shall be judged on an equal basis. There'll be no partiality and no favoritism, amen. And so I thank God. You know what he says in 2 Corinthians 5:10? For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Hebrews 9:27, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. And I thank God. Listen, as he tells each and every one of us, we've got to be able to get ready because judgment is coming, amen. And so let's move right on. Let's move right on a little bit further. We get to that third point. Believers are to reverence God, thirdly, because you are a stranger and a pilgrim on earth. You're just passing through here, amen, as we look at the reverence and the hope of a believer, amen. I thank God. He says again in verse 17 down there, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, amen. Boy, I thank God. You need to be able to spend, if you're looking at the English translation or the English version, it says spend the rest of your lives here on earth in reverence for Him. If you're looking at the NIV, it says live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. But if you're looking at the King James, it says pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Amen. You see that right there? I thank God, every one of us, because you're a stranger and a pilgrim on earth. Amen. Every one of us, as we look and realize of all the things that the Lord wants to do in our life today. Amen. Because that word sojourning, to dwell alongside, to be passing by, it's a picture of a pilgrim. Amen. A stranger that is in a foreign country and is only dwelling there and passing by for just a brief time. Amen. This is the believer, the Christian on earth. They're not permanent resident on earth. Amen. They're only passing through the earth to a better place and a better world. Amen. And so the most wonderful thing is when a person is a stranger or a pilgrim in a foreign land, his mind and his heart are home. Amen. He lives in a consciousness of home. He or she, that believer, his thoughts are upon home. Amen. Boy, I thank God. He lives, she lives walking in the consciousness of being in heaven with God. Amen. Boy, I thank God each and every one of us as we go through life and begin to realize how special it is to have those heavenly thoughts going. And our minds begin to wonder about our loved ones and what's going on up there. Amen. We travel through life with our mind and heart upon heaven because that's going to be our permanent home one of these days. Hebrews 11, 13 through 16. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that, listen, they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Woo! Amen. Listen. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country. That is, a heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. For He hath prepared for them a city. Looking for a city where we'll never die, where we'll be forever. Boy, ain't that good? Hey, I'm going to tell you, thank God every one of us, amen. Hebrews 13, 14, running reference for you. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Wow. I thank God. Listen. You know, every one of us, they said over in the book of Exodus, they talked about a type of heaven because they said in Exodus 6, 4, and I have also established my covenant with them to give the land of Canaan, that's the type of heaven, the land of their pilgrimage wherein they were strangers. Woo, praise God. I'm going through the land of Canaan now, amen. But boy, we're waiting for the land of milk and honey. Boy, I thank God, every one of us as we go through life. Let's move on. Our fourth believers are to reverence God because you have been redeemed in verses 18, 19, and 20. We've been redeemed, brothers and sisters, amen. Boy, I thank God that he begins to tell us. He says, listen, he says, for as much as ye know that you were not redeemed, amen, I got it underlined, with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, amen. Boy, I thank God. He says in the NIV, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers. Hey, you reading the English version? For you know what was paid to set you free from the worthless manner of life handed down by your ancestors. It was not something that can be destroyed such as silver or gold. Yeah. Boy, I thank God. Here we look at the reverence and the hope of a believer, amen. But let's move on, amen. I thank God, redeem means to set free and deliver by paying the ransom, amen. The ransom's been paid, praise God. Boy, I thank God. Boy, the ransom's been paid. Hallelujah, every one of us. We'll move on, he says. And he tells us, he says, note the three significant points about redemption, amen, that he tells us about. He says, listen, he says, we need to be redeemed to be set free from the empty life that we have been taught to live by our forefathers, amen. Each and every one of us, amen. That's the thing, because we've been redeemed, amen. We've been set free, praise God. This is exactly what Scripture says. We need to be redeemed to be set free from the empty life that we have been taught to live by our forefathers. Now, I thank God everything my mama taught me, was pretty good because it was the common life. Amen. It was brilliant. Hey, she might not have had no PhD, but she had common sense, and she grew up on the farm. And, buddy, some of the things she taught me was mighty fine. But I'm going to tell you, one of the examples of her witness, she says, we need to go to church. And she didn't just talk about it. She didn't tell me about it. She didn't show me about it by saying, just get on a bus and go on. She took me to church. She took me to church. You were redeemed from your vain conversation life, received by tradition from your father. The life which most fathers teach is a vain and empty life, and it focuses upon the world, its possessions, and its pleasures. Let's get the best job. Let's have the best profession. Let's get us a lot of money. Man, let's have a nice house. Let's make some popularity and investments and retirement. There's nothing wrong with none of those things. But listen, these things don't satisfy the human heart. They are necessary for human life, but we must have the basic necessities in order to sustain life. But physical and material things do not satisfy or fulfill the human heart, is what I'm teaching tonight. And so there's only one thing that can do that. God. The presence of God. Living in the heart and giving the person the perfect assurance of living forever with God. The testing of your assurance. That's why I call this a series, the testing of your assurance. It'll test everything you've got. It'll test your salvation. Amen. Therefore, when a person focuses upon the world, its pleasures, its possessions, it becomes vain. Amen. His heart becomes empty, void, unfulfilled, and incomplete. And a worldly heart senses a lack of permanent purpose and meaning and significance. Why? It lacks it. Because the worldly person has little assurance that he's acceptable to God. Why? Again, because his life or her life and thoughts are not focused upon God. You're focusing upon, maybe you're focusing upon that young lady or that young man. They're focused upon the world. Listen, why? Why? The worldly heart senses a lack of permanent purpose and meaning and significance. Why? Because a worldly person has little assurance that he or she is acceptable to God. Secondly, because a worldly person as well is not sure that they'll live forever. And so I thank God, every one of us, as we go through life today and realize that we have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. I thank God we're freely redeemed. Redemption does not cost us a penny. And we are redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. Amen. And so I thank God, each and every one of us, when we need to be set free and delivered from the empty life that we have been taught to live by traditions. Our forefathers were wrong, and a worldly life does not work. It only leaves us empty and void and incomplete and unfulfilled. And it dooms us to death, to an empty apart, emptiness and an emptiness of eternity apart from God. And so, you know what? There's a lot of scriptures. Old Testament, 1 Kings 22:52. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord. Listen, here it is. Walked in the way of his father, and in the way of his mother, and in the way of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. You know? More Old Testament, 2 Chronicles 22:3. He also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother was his counselor to do wickedly. Boy, I wonder how many parents have taught the wrong things to their children today. But you know what? When it comes down to it, you got to make the right choice for yourself. You can't blame nobody else for your mistakes. You'll have to choose for yourself. Oh, man. Well, Mama always did this. Mom, listen. You know what? You're going to have to make a choice. Every one of us, when we look and realize that whoever you walked after, whatever traditions, amen, I've got all kinds of scriptures that I can give you. Titus 1:14, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Amen. Boy, I thank God. And so, as I said, we're freely redeemed, and redemption does not cost us a penny. Amen. We're redeemed not by silver and gold. Amen. Why? Because they are corruptible. Silver and gold perish. Money passes away. Our redemption would only last as long as our money lasted. That's about it. Amen. And money won't last long today at all, amen. Hey, you know what? You get sued, you have a health issue, it'll take every bit. It'll break a millionaire. And so once again, we stand guilty before him. Why? Because God is eternal. And therefore, the ransom demanded by his justice is an eternal ransom. If we're going to be delivered from this corruptible world and given eternal life, then the ransom has got to be paid for our release to have eternal ransom, a ransom that will last as long as we're going to be living. Jesus Christ did it. He nailed her down when he went to that cross, amen, when they hung him high, and they lifted him high and hung him wide, praise God. The reason silver and gold is inadequate for redeeming, amen. I thank God, and I thank God we are redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, amen. Oh, I thank God, as he tells us, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without spot and without blemish, amen. Oh, I thank God. He says, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you and for me. Amen. I thank God. A.T. Robinson, I thank God. One of the things that I like to quote him on is, I quote, the blood of anyone is precious. It's costly, he says, far above gold or silver, but that of Jesus immeasurably more so, unquote. And I agree with that. I thank God, and there's nothing more precious than Jesus. We see that, amen. And so how is it that the blood of Christ, it redeems us, amen? First, Jesus Christ was just like the Passover lamb, amen, without blemish and without spot. And when Jesus Christ came to earth, he never sinned. He never transgressed the law of God, amen. He was acceptable to God, hallelujah, perfectly acceptable as the ideal and the perfect man, amen. Whatever Jesus Christ did, it would stand for and cover man's sins, amen. Therefore, when Jesus Christ died, he was able to make all of man's guilt and judgment. He took every bit of it upon himself to die for man, and he was able to bear a judgment and a punishment of transgression for man that no one else could bear. The death and the blood of Jesus Christ, the eternal ransom, amen. Praise God for man that he paid. He paid too much a price for me. Amen. Hey, I thank God every one of us, when we believe in Jesus Christ, really trust him. God counts us as having, listen, as died in Christ. Having died with him, we shall never die again. Jesus Christ has redeemed us. He's paid the ransom. He's delivered and set us free from sin and the penalty of death. Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through, listen, the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Listen, it's the scripture that's powerful. It is the scripture that you go to that reassures you sometimes of your salvation when the old enemy, the devil, the no good devil, demon man himself, Lucifer, comes around. That scripture will reassure you along with the Holy Spirit, because the enemy will try to come and steal away your thoughts as soon as you get them. Even in the house of God, before you can get off of the pew, he'll try it. Before I turn this off tonight, he'll try to steal it away from you. But listen to the scripture. Listen to what I'm reading to you. Galatians 3:13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. It is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. Listen. Colossians 1:14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Amen. Titus 2:14. Listen to the scripture. Amen. Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Amen. I could go on and on and on. Amen. And so tonight, I thank God how that blood of Christ redeemed us, because he was just like the Passover lamb. Amen. I thank God, without blemish and without spot. Secondly, God foreordained that Christ redeem us by his blood. He foreordained it even before the foundation of the world that we read in scripture, praise God, that he told us about. Amen. Well, I thank God. You read it in verse 20. And it means, it's used three different ways in scripture. Now listen to what I'm fixing to say. That word foreordained right there in 1 Peter 1:20. It's used three different ways in scripture. To know something beforehand or ahead of time is one way. To know something immediately by loving and accepting and approving it is another, second way in scripture that foreordained is used. And thirdly, to elect, to foreordain, and to predetermine something is the third way. Note that all three meanings are at work in the same passage. Because before the world was ever created, God knew God approved and God predestined Christ to redeem man by coming to earth and die for man. Listen, he didn't come just to save a few predestined. He came to save every one of us. I don't care who, what you, listen, that's what my Bible tells me. He came to save everybody. He didn't come just to save the predestined a few. And if you're trying to figure out predestined, yes, it's used in predestined, but you're using it the wrong way, because he says he came to save everybody. But it's the choice that you make, or you reject him, that he's has to judge you, as we said earlier. Listen to the scripture. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world in Acts 15:18. Romans 8:29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Romans 11:12 as well, amen, that he tells us about, praise God. He tells us, he says, God hath not cast away his people, Israel, whom he foreknew. You see, they ain't been done away with yet. Amen. He still wants to save the Jewish people that haven't accepted. There's Messianic Jews that are saved right now. But there's a lot of them, the Orthodox, that ain't been saved. And the tribulation is coming for them. I'm afraid so. But don't wait for them. 1 Peter, that he's telling us this about, amen. But 2 Timothy 2:19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. I thank God, every one of us, as we go through life today. And so I thank God. How is it that the blood of Christ redeemed us? Amen. Jesus Christ, he was like the Passover lamb. Amen. I thank God. God foreordained that Christ redeem us by his blood, and foreordained even before the foundation of the world. But thirdly, Christ has now come, and Christ has revealed and sent him to redeem every one of us. Because note the fact that in these last times for you. You see it? That scripture, that's why I'm leaving it up there. In these last times for you, I thank God. Oh, I tell you, each and every one of us, I could give you some more reference on that. But let me move on to my last point tonight as well. And that is, believers are to reverence God, lastly, in verse 21, because you believe in the God who raised up and glorified Christ. Amen. Believers are to reverence God because, listen, they believe in God who raised up and glorified Christ. We're talking about reverence and hope of a believer tonight, as we look and realize that every one of us have all these things. I've already talked about that, but I thank God, he says, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. I thank God. Hey, in the NIV, through him, you believe in God who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and hope are in God. The English version of 1 Peter 1:21, through him you believe in God who raised him from death and gave him glory, and so your faith and hope are fixed on God. I thank God, each and every one of us, as we look and realize, who is the God whom believers trust and call upon? The God who raised up and glorified the Lord Jesus Christ. This means at least two things, the two most wonderful things. If God raised up Christ, he will also raise you and me up as well. And if God glorified Christ, he will also glorify us. Amen. He knows how to raise us up to glorify us because he's got the power. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody say, he's got the power. Well, he does. He's got the power source. Praise God. Amen. George Powell, you ain't got nothing on our Lord. Amen. And he knows how to raise us up and glorify us because all of this, he has power and he has proven it by raising up and glorifying Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ pleased God, and it pleased him perfectly. God accepted Jesus Christ, and he has proven it in the most supreme way possible. He has raised Christ up from the dead, and he glorified him. And the person who believes in Jesus Christ, who really trusts the blood of Jesus to cover his or her sins, who really honors God's Son enough to cast his whole life and eternity upon Christ, that person can rest assured that God will accept him or her. God will raise him or her up and glorify him or her with Christ. God knows how to raise up and glorify the dead, and he has the power to do it, praise God. He's proven the omniscience, the supreme knowledge, and the omnipotence, which is the supreme power, amen, by raising up and glorifying Christ. And therefore, the person that who believes in Jesus Christ can rest assured, listen, that God knows how to raise him up and glorify him forever and ever, amen. I tell you, we believe in God by him, amen. Who by him, look at the scripture again, because I'm all about the scripture, praise God. Who by him do believe in God. That is by Christ. Christ is the mediator between God and men. The only person who is perfect and ideal, praise God. And therefore, he alone can make us acceptable to God, praise God. If we're going to approach God, we must come by Jesus Christ, the way of the cross. Amen. Any other way, you're a thief and a robber. Hey, you think you're going to just get saved any old time you want to? Uh-uh. You better come by Jesus Christ, and you better come by the way of the cross. Amen. Boy, I thank God. You ain't got that kind of power. I don't either. It's through the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, amen, that God works. Listen. Listen to Scripture. I'm going to read a Scripture. Scripture is powerful. I believe that with all of my heart. Scripture can heal. I believe that, amen. But listen to what I'm reading to you. John 6, verses 28, 29. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. Listen to John 6, 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son, listen, and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. I thank God. John 11, 25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Oh, I thank God. On and on and on. And so I thank God. What does the Romans road tell us? Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with a mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And so I thank God. I could go on and on and on. But you know what I'm saying, amen. Well, I thank God. Listen, every one of you, listen, will you follow with me as I get ready to close tonight? Father, I've got it on your Facebook there. Will you pray with me? Father, as I stand in awe before you, I affirm my desire to live a life that clearly shows that I have been set apart unto you, not by what I have done, but through the precious blood of Christ. Amen. Remember, every one of us, I thank God, we've got a great opportunity to go forward and to be able to share the gospel, reverence, and hope of a believer. Thanks for tuning us in. God bless you. Is our prayers.